and welcome back to Badass Bitches Tarot for the week of January 12th through January 18th. This is your host, Cardzi B. I hope that all of you had a magical full moon in Cancer and lunar eclipse this weekend. As many of you already know, I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor based in New York City. I began learning tarot when I was still in elementary school and since then have turned that hobby into a tarot practice and the creation of my own deck, Badass Bitches Tarot by Cardzi B, as well as various tarot products and events. So how was your full moon and lunar eclipse this past, it actually started on Friday, but that energy obviously carried throughout the weekend. I personally had an incredible weekend with a group of women that gathered together for kind of a decadent Manhattan staycation at the Grace Hotel, which was all put together by Carrie Ann Kohler. She is such a powerful witch and healer. She's the creator of the Woo Workbook, and her and I met a while back. I want to say that it was at an astrology workshop maybe 2 years ago, and just hit it off and have collaborated and, you know, done some projects together. She attended my retreat in the Hamptons in October, and I was so excited to be a part of her kind of little staycation retreat this weekend. So it was definitely a really intense full moon because, again, it was in Cancer, and Cancer is ruled by the moon. So it was an extra kind of dose of that lunar intuitive energy. And if we look at the sun being in Capricorn, which is kind of that rules, go, work, 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 Saturn energy, with the full moon being in Cancer, which is a little bit more sensitive, a little bit more intuitive, this full moon really kind of, along with the eclipse, which is literally eclipsing things out that no longer serve us, really kind of helped us to find the balance between where is it that we need to use that Capricorn work, work, work energy, and where do we really need to pull in that emotional, intuitive energy of Cancer and of the moon. So I think that this was a really beautiful restart to a lot of people. This can kind of, if you're New Year, if, you know, New Year's Eve wasn't great or you didn't really fully feel that you were regenerated December 31st, January 1st, this was a really powerful refresh and restart due to that combination of the full moon with the lunar eclipse. So I hope that a lot of you are really able to celebrate this energy and take some time for you and kind of just meditate on what it is that you're leaving behind, how you really are wanting to move forward, and finding again that balance between that kind of Saturn Capricorn energy that's a little bit more masculine in nature and that more like feminine Cancer intuitive lunar energy. And, you know, it's not one or the other. It's really, this eclipse was a reminder of how do we combine both and take what really works for us moving forward. So I had the best weekend, really enjoyed myself. I hope that this energy was impactful for you as well. I'm also incredibly excited today because we have an amazing guest that I've been trying to get on the podcast. Scheduling wise, you know, she is very busy. She's booking a ton of things. So I'm excited that we're finally going to get to chat today. But before I get to her, let's go over January's cards again. So our first card of the month, if you listen to the overview, you know, every month we go through the card from the Order of the Golden Dawn and an additional card. So our first card comes from that Order of the Golden Dawn January card, which is the Devil, as it's ruled by Capricorn. So as I said on the podcast last week, definitely not a card I love. The Devil represents aspects of the shadow that involve temptation, vices, addictions, destructive emotions, and overall just self-sabotaging behaviors kind of knocking at your door with temptation. So, you know, not my favesy, but on the flip side, the Devil is a great teacher. And the biggest lesson in the Devil card is that we have the free will and choice to either autopilot, cave to those temptations, or really go into the shadow and release those self-limiting beliefs. Like the loose shackles that are tied to the devil figure in the original Smith Rider-Waite version of this card, we can actually choose to untie ourselves from these beliefs through patterns and behaviors in order to walk away from relationships, people, or situations that are just unhealthy for us. And, you know, we're kind of aware of it in devil energy, and it's the devil is presenting the choice of how do we want to move forward. This month may bring in some more of those temptations to revert back into shadow behaviors, but as we're in that 2020 year of the Emperor energy, we're now a little bit stronger and more clear on what we do and do not want to engage with, and things that we might have just, again, autopilot kind of engaged in the past, whether that's putting unhealthy things into our body, engaging with toxic people, the devil can actually be an ally, like a super hard teacher or professor whose challenges really make us look at things in a new light and make us stronger moving forward. our second card for January was pulled from the annual overview, which I do on January 1st of every year. So this card comes from the January 1st, 2020 overview. And we have 10 of Wands, but reversed. And I think we just had this card not too long ago, but I really love this reversal. So either way, 10 of Wands is a card of success and completion as it's ruled by the 10th major arcana, the Wheel of Fortune. And, you know, you're gonna get a positive outcome with 10 of Wands. 10 of Wands upright, however, is a success that kind of takes a lot of work, and it looks and feels pretty arduous and pretty taxing throughout the process to get there. But we have the reversal for January, which means the successful outcome is still coming to us, but it's going to be a much more enjoyable process. If 10 of Wands upright is a kind of a really brutal journey to get to your destination, 10 of Wands reversed is a super enjoyable trip that was kind of fun and memorable, and you don't even realize it. You're like, wow, we're here already, because the journey was just as enjoyable as getting to where you were headed. This month, 10 of Wands reverse offers a little bit of a reprieve. So this card makes it a bit easier almost to kind of deal with those temptations that we may be faced with. When the devil comes knocking of like, oh, do you want to answer that text from your ex that just came up? Or you sure you don't want to eat that thing? Are you sure you're done with cigarettes? Whatever it may be. 10 of Wands, if 10 of Wands upright was working with the devil, it would likely indicate that we would successfully clear these temptations, but it would feel like white knuckling the whole way. Hard, hard work. While we have the reversal, which is great news, because that's more like, oh, hey, not today, Satan. So, see, Lola agrees. She's given that a big affirmative. So I'm really grateful that we have the reversal, and I feel like this is really going to help us ease our way through January, even with the devil as our major arcana card from the Order of the Golden Dawn working with us. The 10 of Wands is going to make those temptations easy to walk away from in its reversal. So now let's look at our card of the week. Queen of Cups. This is so interesting because we had the High Priestess last week, and now we have Queen of Cups. And I often say the Queen of Cups would kind of be the High Priestess' younger sister in terms of relationships of the cards. And, you know, we're getting a lot of strong water intuitive cards already this month. Our first two, the High Priestess and Queen of Cups for the weekly. It's really helping us to navigate January and work with rather than against that devil card energy. In the OG Smith Rider-Waite deck, this card shows the queen, a beautiful young woman, sitting on her throne in front of a big body of water, and she's holding a golden cup. But the interesting fact about this cup is that unlike all the other cups in the suit, it's closed at the top rather than open. And that's said to show that the queen's thoughts and feelings come from her intuition and subconscious, so it's coming from within rather than without. And the water and sea creatures that are all around her are representing, again, that emotion, that spirit and intuition. And the Order of the Golden Dawn studies and teachings also identified that her feet were not submerged in the water. So when you look at the original artwork of the Smith Rider-Waite deck, her feet are kind of resting on these stones on the shore. That's showing she is, yes, highly connected to her emotions, i.e. all the water energy around her, but she's not overwhelmed by them, and she still has her feet on the ground, on the earth. As core cards are ruled by elements rather than planets and constellations, this queen is pure water energy. Queens are water, and cups are also ruled by the element of water, which, you know, makes sense given the imagery of all of those sea creatures and this, you know, the water and kind of that fluid motion of the artwork in the card. In the Badass Bitches Tarot, this is Dr. Danny Tomko, doctor, mother, and former lingerie football star, who embodies that just the entire, I mean, to me, she's the ultimate Queen of Cups. She embodies that beauty, nurturing, and wisdom of the Queen of Cups, and she's also one of my favorite humans on the planet. Speaking of which, another one of my favorite peeps and magical beings is here with us today. Desi Wolf is an artist and musician who released two hit singles this year, Om and Neon Soul, and she's also working on a new children's book. She's here to talk about how her spiritual journey has informed her artwork.
Tomorrow is a brand new day. Yeah.
Hey, Desi, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
I'm so happy you're finally here because I know we've talked about doing it for a long time.
I know. It's finally happening.
We both have such crazy schedules, but it's finally meant to be, I feel like.
Yes.
And it's perfect because you just, you had a big year in 2019 because you launched Neon Soul and Ohm and just came out with the remixes of Ohm.
Yes.
So was music always a big part of your life growing up? Was that always kind of the thing you knew you wanted to do? Because I know that you're very multifaceted and have kind of a lot of talents, and especially in the creative side of things.
Yeah, music was always a big part of my life. My mom has a very similar voice to me, and she was always singing. She always had records. And my Aunt Judy got me a karaoke machine, I think, when I was, 5 years old, and I was obsessed with it. I would record on, blank tapes and give them to my classmates, give them to my family, and they were all probably like, oh, God, this is so awful. This is so awful.
I never knew that.
But I was like, here you go. You're welcome. Here's my voice. and I just always knew that music is what I wanted to pursue. I have journal entries from, the first grade where I said I wanted to be a singer. And with my Barbie dolls, I would just always, have them be on stage. And I always felt like that was what I was going to be doing. So
that's incredible. I know that you also, write all your own lyrics to all your music. How did you come up with the, inspiration or kind of the concepts for Ohm and Neon Soul?
So for Ohm, Ohm came before Neon Soul. But Ohm came to me during, somewhat of a dark period of my life. But I had cut out social media, I cut out all alcohol for a month, and I was really focused on just giving myself a lot of self-love. I had just gotten out of, a relationship that took a lot of my time. And I was in a yoga class, and at the end of the yoga class, we did a meditation, and during the meditation, a song just came out of nowhere, and it was just a download. And so what you hear in Ohm is, literally just what I heard. It wasn't even, I feel like I didn't even create it, because it was just, something
I love that it's channeled. Yeah. I feel like that with my tarot deck, and I think that the most kind of meaningful projects or artistic work come out of that. So that's
totally
so incredible. And that's Ohm is my favorite song of yours. I also love Neon Soul a lot, but Ohm is definitely I listen to it probably daily in my mix of my music.
Oh my God.
Yes,
that
I love it.
So,
so obviously from the lyrics of Ohm and Neon Soul, they are it's very clear that it's your spiritual journey played a big part in that.
Yeah.
So how, and you know, with Ohm specifically, you said you were kind of in that period of detoxing your life of some things that were negative in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
How did that play out in Neon Soul for you?
So Neon Soul, it happened in a similar way. I was in a bathtub and that happens to be when a lot of my great ideas come to me. And I think that's because I'm just removed from technology and I'm not thinking about anything other than just being super relaxed. And I think that is something that's important for all, not just creators necessarily, but just for everyone. When you're just still, the universe will give you the song you need or the project you need or, whatever your next step is, or if you want to leave your job, what is your next step? But back to Neon Soul, I was just in the bathtub and I just heard a beatbox noise and I instantly recorded the beatbox and then I did come up with the lyrics on my own, so it wasn't an instant download like Ohm. So that's where it all kind of started.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love both of them. What would you say? Because for me, I listen to both frequently. Like I said, I listen to Ohm almost daily because it's kind of a really I walk to a lot of my clients when I'm not working from home, and it'll kind of be a good reset for the day.
Mm-hmm.
What is kind of what was your intent? And I know everyone's going to interpret that differently through their own experience. But what was kind of your intent for listeners to receive from both songs? The takeaway from it.
So with both of my songs that I put out so far, Neon Soul and Ohm, and anything I put out, I really want to convey a message. I never want to put out something to be cool or anything. I want it to be a positive message. And with Ohm, you know, it's kind of self-explanatory. If you're going through something, inevitably it's going to get better. And sometimes you have to do the work to get to the other side. But I think it helps people know that they're not alone, and everyone always calls me sunshine, and I'm this happy-go-lucky person, and I am, But I think it's good for people to know that even, like, people who are considered sunshine
have
their down days. And I feel like that was,
and that's okay. And that's part of the process.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then with Neon Soul, you know, I feel like we have all these songs about, like, finding your true love and everything. But I wanted to get more specific. And it's like, okay, but you want to find somebody with a neon soul. Someone who inspires you to be better. Someone who motivates you. Someone who just, like, makes you feel at home. And just is on a high vibrational level.
I love that.
Yeah,
yeah, I find that song very inspirational because I feel like I haven't met that person yet, and it, like, gives me hope that that's out there.
Oh,
so
you will.
Thank you. I love that. So you were talking about that you often are inspired, like, in taking baths that are really healing for you.
Mm-hmm.
What other kind of tools put you in a good space for when you're writing new songs?
I really think working out is important for anyone, but especially creators, because I think it helps clear your mind. Another tool that I really like to use, I've been using The Artist's Way.
I love that you got me interested in that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And morning pages, it's just, you write 3 pages of just whatever comes to your mind. You don't think about it, you just write. And the most profound things will come onto that page. Like, that is therapy in itself. It's like you having a conversation with your soul, and your soul is telling you what steps you need to take.
I love that too.
Yeah.
And I struggled to get into the flow of it, but once I started doing it, I found it really impactful and kind of inspiring other projects, other things that I'm working on.
Yeah,
for sure.
Exactly.
What other tools, just in general, not necessarily for creating, do you work with? Do you, like, in terms of, like, you mentioned meditation, like herbs, crystals, what else do you, on a kind of like on a ritual basis, do you work with?
On a ritual basis, well, I always have rose quartz around and amethyst. I'm not super well versed in all crystals, but I whatever I feel pulled to, I'll grab it. And
yeah,
like, I notice that it has effect on me. And I'm trying to think of what else are some of my big things.
You work with tarot as well though.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a big thing that I do is I'll do my morning pages. I'll do a meditation on the Calm app, which is lovely. It's just a 10-minute meditation that they provide every day. And then I'll do, like, my 4 tarot cards for the day.
I love that.
Yeah, and it's always very telling. I'll come back to it at the end of the day. I'm like, oh, yeah, that did happen. But I just feel like doing tarot in general, it's like you're a channel, and then you can channel that into whatever your work is.
Absolutely. And, yeah, I always tell people, even if they don't read or they're brand new to it, that, like, exactly what you're doing, pulling, even if it's just a card of the day or, like,
mm-hmm.
3-4 cards, and then kind of seeing, taking note of how that played out kind
exactly.
of keeps you more in touch with your higher self or
exactly.
kind of like signs from the universe. The other project I wanted to touch base on is your children's book
mm-hmm.
that you're working on. I'm so inspired by this, and I'm so excited mm-hmm. to see this, like, come out to the world to fruition.
Yes. I'm so excited about it too. I love how much you're inspired by it as well. Yeah, so it's called August, the Princess of Two Colors, and she's a princess who is purple and pink. And it's for biracial children, about not having to choose sides or feel confined to a box. Because what I have found out from my other biracial peers is, like, they also feel like people kind of want to be like, well, are you black or are you white? Like, who do you hang out with more? How do you talk? Who are you dating? All these things. And it's, you know, I was born kind of right after interracial marriage became legal. So, you know, we were all kind of like the tester kids for this. You know,
that's so crazy to think about. It's
yeah.
like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's wild. And, you know, and that's part of the reason why I feel like I was brought to this earth, because I feel like I've come in contact with so many people, whether they're black or white, who have maybe a prejudice against the other. And I feel like they meet me and they're like, oh, well, like, she kind of like, you
yeah.
know, she just, I feel like I've helped change people's views. And with this children's book, it's kind of like empowering not just biracial children, but just all children to not feel confined to any sort of box. Like, if you're a girl, you can only like girly things and you can't be boyish. And I think, you know, we're already making those steps towards this. But I just think it's so crazy, like, if somebody says, oh, like, a white guy can't rap or a black guy can't do country, it's like, why? Because
yeah.
of this pigment. Like, it's so insane. The boxes that we create, not just about race, but just for everything, like, everyone can just be who they are, and that's who they are, and, like, we can just, like, start, like, knocking these boxes down.
I love that, and I love that it's a children's book to kind of, I think that obviously it teaches that then at a young age, but also, like, the parents. I think that, like, having that as a tool for the parents when sometimes they don't even know how to communicate that in an effective way, so that mm-hmm. you're kind of providing the tools for that is such a beautiful thing.
Yeah, that is a great point, because my family just never really talked about it with me, which, I mean, they were just coming from such a loving place of not wanting me to feel weird about, you know,
or being feel next, different. Yeah.
Feel different. Yeah. And I truly didn't really feel any of that until, like, high school, just from certain circumstances. But yeah, I want kids to really secure their identity from early on, where I was kind of like, well, what's going on? Like, who am I?
Yeah. And still, and, like, figuring it out for, like, longer than, like, most people are just like, okay, this is what it is. And, like, you're, yeah, giving some sort of, like, a framework.
Exactly.
That, like you said, you don't have to decide one or the other, but you're like, okay, this is, you know, this is what's out there. And this is, like, we're all okay as individuals exactly as we are.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. I love that. So the, like, in terms of, like, your children's book and then working, you know, on songwriting and your music and performing, how do you kind of create space for all of that? Because I feel like the world, especially, like, you know, and you're younger than me, but, like, millennials and younger, it's becoming more commonplace to just really kind of follow your passion, and it's okay to have several different interests, because it used to be like you have to have one thing that you're right. like, this is what you do and this is what defines. And it's kind right. of interesting because, like you're saying, with, like, the like, even with August, and you have to, you know, define in the box, like, black or white, or, like, you know, male or female. And now right. it's like you're not just limited to, like, okay, I'm a singer. You're a singer. You're a songwriter. You're, you know, creating this children's book. You're an author. And I've kind of, like, diverged you know, later in my path, where I'm doing the tarot deck and I'm writing and I'm doing a bunch of things. And that was scary, because I think the world kind of wants us to put us in so many boxes.
Yes,
so exactly. as somebody that's, like, living so, like, aligned with your passions and freely, how do you create space for those, all of those different areas? And how do you kind of allow that to all flow in and not limit yourself?
Oh, man. So creating space, I'm such a free spirit. It's something I've started doing is I've really gotten strict with having a calendar and having a to-do list. I think that's really important for people who are trying to be multifaceted.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's so easy to forget about a project when you're so passionate about this one thing, and then you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't get this done. So I think it's important to have a schedule for every day of what you want to get done. And if you don't get it all done, that's fine. But you can, like, move those things over into the next day. And I think also a really big important thing that kind of correlates with this is, I love my family, and, there are some people that will try to tell you that you can't do it all, but people who feel like they can't do it all will tell you that you can't do it all.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so I think it's really important to just know, like, you're being pulled to do all these things for a reason, like, whatever it is. And so, like, your truth is your truth, and you just have to follow that and really not care what anyone says, even if it's your best friend who's like, I don't think this is a good idea. If you feel this strong pull to do it, you got to do it, because that is, like, why you were brought to this earth.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, you've inspired me so much in that way of, like, oh my God, I love you so much. Desi's, like, one of my besties. I love her so much. And because, no, I used to very, like, I worked in fashion forever, and I was like, I'm an amazing fashion designer, and that is the box I check. And then there were things that I was, like, I had read tarot since I was a kid, but, like, I was kind of like, oh no, but that's a hobby. Like, that's not something I can do. And the way that you really do freely and confidently own your passions, and that you have, like, ones that are varying, like, you wouldn't necessarily put, like, singer-songwriter with, like, children's book author.
Exactly.
But, like, you know, learning about your process and how I truly feel like all of these projects for you have been really channeled and are so, like, pure.
Yes.
To source, universe, whatever you want to call it.
Yes.
Is so lovely to see. So I like your advice of, like, if you feel called to do it, like, don't question that, because that's your higher self. That's the universe telling you, like, there's a reason that you're feeling intrigued by this feeling.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And also, as you know, a creator or whatever, you're on your own timeline. So don't feel rushed. You have to put out something if you don't feel comfortable putting it out just then. Like, let it get it to, like, what you picture it as, and don't just give, like, a 50% version when you want the 100% version, but also give yourself a deadline.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like that balance. It's very like temperance energy to me of like finding, like, when to, like, get in there and do things, when to alchemize, and when to, like, step back and kind of just take a minute and observe the process and like trust the universe.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes. I love that. Yeah.
So speaking of which, because I ask everybody this, which you know, what is your, and I think I might know your favorite, but I don't think I know your least favorite. What is your favorite tarot card? Like when you get it pulled for you, or whether you're reading for yourself or someone's like, you know, if you're getting a reading.
Okay. Well, I don't just have one. I have like four. The Elle Woods card, which is...
Page of Pentacles. Yes. I love that you're, like, just referenced mine. It makes me so happy.
yeah, I get so happy when I see that card. Carrie Bradshaw card.
Four of Wands. Yes.
And,
that's what I thought you were going to say, yes.
Yeah. And then the Cardi B card.
King of Wands.
Yeah,
yes.
King of Wands.
Yeah.
And, The Two of Cups, just because, like, you know, I'm a rom-com fan. Yeah, so I just feel like that just, like,
yeah, Two of Cups is always good. Because even when people get Two of Cups in a work reading, it's kind of like, oh, you're going to come into a really strong collaboration. There's going to be that, like, synergy. Even if it's, you know, completely, like, work or, like, not related to, like, romantic love, it's always, like, a harmonious energy card.
Yeah, totally.
What cards that when you pull for yourself or you get that you're, like, you hate seeing? Like, do you have, one in particular?
That one's pretty easy. Obviously, number one is the Devil card.
The Devil card!
Anyone who wants to see the Bleeping Devil card, like, there's something wrong with you.
It's so funny. I was, like, recently talking about this, about how, like, Mary Kay Greer, who's, like, literally, like, the grand dame of tarot and has written all these books, and she's, like, so famous, was on my podcast in last winter, and I told her that that's my least favorite card. And she said, oh, she was like, that's so beautiful. You're gonna be able to learn to love your shadow. And I was like, all right.
Oh, man.
But, like, I do see, like, it's definitely a lesson, but the Devil's a hard one because it's not just, like, some of the challenging cards. Like, Ten of Swords, Nine of Swords, it's, like, yes, this is hard. The Devil's, like, tempting, too.
Yeah.
It's, like, things that are, like, tempting in self-sabotage. You're, like, I kind of want to engage.
No, so exactly. You know? Yes. I have gotten the Devil card when it is absolutely necessary, and I've needed to really, like, step back and see where I needed to grow. But that said, like, would I rather see Elle Woods card? 1,000%.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then... I don't know why, but the Roseanne card, I know it's not a horrible card to get.
Ten of Swords.
Yes. Roseanne, I just always feel
It's a hard card because it's fun. Someone recently just told me that that was their least favorite as well. And it's because it's kind of like the death of a bad idea card. So it's a clearing card. Mm-hmm. And swords move quickly.
Right.
But it's just that, like, that was a horrible situation. And the reason I had a hard time drawing that was because it was, like, horrible thing that she did. And then ABC cleared it quickly. You know, it was, like, the next day. You couldn't even find it in your on-demand. It was, like, cleared. Like, it just, and that's kind of Ten of Swords is when something, and it's almost like something you know is bad, so it's easy to clear. So it's like it's a challenging, but it's like it's something that's easier to walk away from than things in the Devil can kind of be like, but it's fun, but it's bad, but it's fun, you know? Or I get that totally. I think that's it for the half hour for our interview. Do you have anything else you want to announce? I'm gonna link to your website to the singles for both Neon Soul Om and the Om remixes.
Yes. Oh, I hope everyone loves it.
Yeah, amazing. Thank you so much for being here with us, Desi. I'm so excited.
Thank you.
So what a galactic rock star is Desi. She is truly one of my favorite people in this lifetime that I have connected with, and I'm so grateful for her, for all of her creative energy, which she puts out in her songs and her new children's book. If you haven't already, check out Om and Neon Soul, iTunes, anywhere that you can find music. It's available. She also has an incredible YouTube station with all of her music videos. I'll link to both in the notes to this podcast. But before we head out, I just wanted to quickly recap. We're going in strong to 2020 with that ambitious Aries ruled Emperor, aka the Beyonce card, helping us to set up a powerful foundation for the year and the decade moving forward. This month, we have my least fave card, unfortunately, the Capricorn ruled Devil card, which may test our new goals with opportunities to self-sabotage, but we have some badass cards to counteract these temptations. Our other card for January from the 2020 overview is Ten of Wands reversed, and this card is really helping us to face any adversity with a lot more ease and to be able to finish up projects, move towards new goals that we have with a bit more flow. This week also brings us the Queen of Cups with her strong water energy and connection to the subconscious, helping us to tap into our intuition and to counter any challenges this week may throw at us. Also, Instagram Live still on track Mondays at 7:30 Eastern Time. I will be here this upcoming Monday, which is tomorrow. If you have any questions, it's a great time to tune in and have your own chance at a free live mini reading. If you can't attend live, you can send your questions through in advance, and I do keep the lives up in my stories for 24 hours. I'm also starting to add some more video content, as some of you who follow Cardzy B may have noticed, and I'm possibly even including a YouTube in 2020. So if there are any topics or themes that you'd really like to see have explained a bit more or delve into more deeply, please DM me at Cardzy B or message me through badasspitchestarot.com. Thank you again so much for listening. Happy Capricorn season. Congrats on surviving that intense full moon in Cancer. And as always, stay magical AF.